Okay, welcome everyone to the Arizona State Hospital July 21st, 2022 Independent Oversight Committee meeting. I now call the meeting to order. As far as members, we have Barb, we have Natalie, we have Chuck, myself, and Kim. Any other members on? We've heard that SAGO unit's on, Tim is on. I think another Charles is on. Let us know if you want your name in the meeting minutes or not. So welcome. Any disclosure of conflict of interest? Okay. So has everyone had a chance to review last month's meeting minutes? Are there any edits, or does someone want to motion to approve it?
I motion we approve the minutes from June.
Okay.
Second.
Okay.
Who motioned, guys? I didn't hear. I need a name.
Barb.
Thank you.
Barb motion.
Okay, Barb.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, so moved. Next, any update from ADOH? OA, sorry.
No problem. Real quick, there's a new platform now for our website on the IOC.gov. There's the functionality is the same. It's a little, the look is different. But the material and the agendas and the minutes are still loaded on there for you to go in and review, and the annual reports as well. Okay. So please feel free to go in and take a look at it.
Okay.
And then I'm constantly going back and updating that as well for the group, to making sure that things are updated properly. That's a continuous project that I'm working on. Also, the new fiscal year has started for the state, started in July. So anything from last July through the end of this June 22nd or the 22nd, will be on your annual report, which is not due till November 1st. So yeah, plenty of time for that to work on that, get an outline together. I don't know, Lori, if you have a committee or subcommittee that will handle that for you, or that will, you know. So anyways, that's just put a bug in your ear about that. And that's really all I had.
Okay. What I generally do, what I've done, is go over piece together based on the meeting minutes and the response from the hospital administration over what we've done over the mm-hmm. past year, and what we've accomplished, what challenges remain, and mm-hmm. any other noteworthy. And then I'll send it out to the committee and ask that they review it, make changes if there are any, but make sure you don't send it back to everyone. Otherwise, we break public meeting laws. Just send it to me with your changes and comments.
And then you'll be following the report like you did last year. So I'll work on getting email addresses, making sure that everything's set up for you, ready to go. So
okay. Thank you. And I see Alice is in now also. So that's great. Okay. I know Dr. Potts was going to join. He joined early, but then he said he'll try to pop in. So when Dr. Potts pops in, he can give us an update. I know they didn't hold their meeting this month. They didn't have quorum. So that was from the central IOC. And I invited some other IOCs. I don't see him here. Review of action items. Does anyone have any comments from the response from administration over our request from last month? Okay. let's see, follow up on any previous or ongoing discussions, staffing and retaliation. We have a little bit of follow-up on that. And then we also have a new patient letter that was sent, that was forwarded to everyone, that was sent into the IOC email that we can discuss. But first, on the claim of retaliation that the committee looked into, and the committee, to the best of our ability, did substantiate retaliation. The hospital administration had questions. They did not agree, and they wanted to meet. I did ask, and Alice asked, that when they called the meeting, they invite me as well so I could be supportive to her. That didn't happen, so Alice was in the meeting with, I think, two folks from ASH administration, where I think they went over. And Alice, if you want to just briefly go over the high level, what was their concern? I think you were pointing out from a clinical perspective why we felt that some of the documentation wasn't clinical and led to our belief that it was retaliation.
Yes, we're in public forum, right?
Yes.
Okay, so
no details as far as names or anything. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, there were various things, and I'm going to make sure I get all my details typed up for them so that they have the page numbers and dates. Bottom line is, when you talk about a personality trait and, you know, such things being barriers, then you need to back it up with a clinical, quantitative, and or qualitative statement. You can't just say personality traits or these personality traits, especially when you look at the latest research into that specific type of person. Bottom line is, the research wouldn't support somebody making those statements with no clinical components, like I said, quantitative or qualitative data supporting how those personality traits are actually impeding that person's performance and potential, and why they, and you know, what exactly would they need to be working on to improve. It's just, there was none of that. And that's one of the things that I talked about. But I'm hoping that they have it recorded.
Okay. And I don't think they did record it, because I did ask when I had a brief meeting with administration yesterday, that they said they didn't record it. But both, got a message that, was it TJ and Jeff were there? Two people were there?
Two people, yeah. It was the person in charge and then the investigator, yeah.
TC and Jeff. Jeff's supervisor, okay. Or something.
Yeah.
If they want to follow up, what I'll do is request that they have invite the chair. I may also invite Dr. Goldstein, since he has experience with forensic psychology knowledge.
Okay.
With that as well. So hopefully you won't be on your own next time.
Yeah. And it's just a matter of best patient outcomes. That's our goal, not attack. Everybody's treated fairly.
Do we need a motion for another meeting, or is that already in the works?
I don't know. I think what we would do is I'll motion that if they want to have further conversation, that they make sure that they invite the chair, and I will, along with Alice, and then I could invite Dr. Goldstein as well.
Okay. I'll second that. And I'm Natalie.
Okay. And all in favor?
Aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Okay, so moved. The next is a patient letter that we got. And for those, did everyone have a chance to read it, or do you want me to briefly go over the content of it?
Can you briefly go over the contents?
Yes,
okay. The guardian of a patient at Arizona State Hospital was relating an incident involving their loved one that occurred on July of this year. And it was a belief that the person's relatives' human rights, access to restroom and privacy, and being free from harassment were violated. And basically, the person was using a restroom, and a line for the bathroom had formed due to one of the bathrooms being out of order. The staff knocked on the door with his foot and asked the patient to hurry up so everyone could use the bathroom. The patient became agitated and burst out of the restroom, yelling about the staff kicking the door and trying to bother the patient. The patient then, you know, was aggravated and interacted with the staff with the intent of assaulting the staff, but staff backed away. The other staff attempted to get between the patient and the staff. The patient was agitated at this point and continued to charge and attack female staff, injuring one, resulted in a hold and a seclusion. While the patient was in seclusion, became more agitated and was just highly agitated for being interrupted while trying to go to the bathroom, and continued to verbalize, and the police were contacted regarding the incident. So they've asked that the independent oversight also looks into the matter, and I think it's being investigated by Department of Health, from what I think I heard. So any questions on that? So Alice, as a psych nurse, I mean, what's your opinion on if someone's using the restroom and staff are trying to hurry them up because they have a faulty facility and they don't have enough?
Okay, this has become not uncommon. Mm-hmm. And especially when you've got 16, sometimes more people in a unit. To be honest, there's no easy answer, but I have been there. I would never kick the door, though, but that's me. If I see, because I am constantly scanning the floor, but that's the way I work. If I see something like that with the patients, I will immediately start intervening. And I personally, that's just me again, I would have cracked the door and I would have asked. I would have said, hey, what's going on? Don't forget the other bathroom's out of order. Unless they're up to build another bathroom because of not only COVID, norovirus, other things going around, but if one bathroom's broken, I don't see a real easy answer to that except pure diplomacy. There's no easy answer. I'll just say I've been in that position, but there was never an escalation. I've been very fortunate, but I've never let a staff kick the door. So
would the committee like to see the outcome of the investigation from Department of Health or whoever is looking into it currently?
I would. That's Barb.
Okay, do you want a motion?
I motion that we see the minutes or the report from the incident.
Okay. Because so the motion on the table is that we request the results of the investigation regarding this patient's human rights to be able to, toilet without pressure. Essentially, right?
And without pressure, correct. Yeah. With I guess compassion and understanding, and that needs to be given to everybody in line as well as the patient.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So moved. So next, and we're moving right along since we know we have people that have hard deadlines tonight. CSRB delays. What they are working on it. What happened recently was a little bit disappointing. Dr. Clark, who has been chair of the PSRB for quite a while, resigned, leaving another vacancy. So while they were going through getting other people certified, fingerprinted, I don't know where they're in the process on everyone, now they have another person to replace. On a positive note, the Superior Court has agreed to move up the transition from July of 2023 to January of 2023. So that's positive. We sure hope that they are able to fill the positions and hold PSRB hearings for our patients that are under that jurisdiction and not have to continue to wait. But that's the update. Administration update. From the hospital, they've hired a lot of new people. They have a new chief nursing officer, Michelle. They have quite a few new people. The executive team is learning to work as a new executive board. Jackie B., who is the patient advocate, is moving out of that position. They are posting the position for a new patient advocate. Jackie has completed her master's and she will be moving into the psychology staff as an employee of the hospital. Other noted information is that since legislation had passed or the budget passed with salary increases, they are hoping that with the salary money increases that they will be able to both retain, recruit and retain workers. So they are getting a permanent increase and a permanent shift to make them more competitive. Let me see what else. The other thing I wanted to let everyone know is the governance board, for anyone that's interested, because it's a public meeting, will be the last Friday of this month at 10 a.m. I don't have the invitation yet, but it also should be posted. That's one thing. The other thing to note is that the forums were rescheduled from this month to August. For forensic, it's August 5th is the patient forensic forum from 1 to 2, and the civil patient forum is Thursday, August 11th from 2 to 3 p.m. So again, if IOC members want to go, let me know. I can help give you information to get there. That was the ASH admin update. And let's see, another. Now the patient visits that we've done. Now, Alice, you were on with me. Do you want to give a recollection of our patient visits for this past month?
Okay, let me get my notes. Do I have the proper notes? Oh gosh, I actually don't have the proper notes. Let me see. Was there one on Desert Sage, one on Mojave? Do I have the right? Oh, okay. Mm. No, Wednesday, June 29th. Was that it?
I'd have to look and see when we did it.
And make sure I have the right.
Let me look real quick. Yes, that was it.
Okay. So one we were unable to find. Let's see. And then they had said on Desert Sage that there was nobody that said they wanted the call because we made sure they checked. And then on Mojave, let's see, we had somebody who, you know, has been upset on, you know, their move program. So that he could focus on himself. So I'm Let me see, how is he supposed to have a doctor follow him was his big concern. He understands focus on himself, but he wanted to make sure that he's still moving and progressing. And, you know, he talked about that, you know, changing so often. He doesn't have a problem with it, but not having the same doctor and, you know, everything following him, that's where his issue was of concern.
Yeah, it seems like changing clinical teams as you change from unit to unit on a fairly regular basis seems like it's not best practice of continuity of care. Just then. Yeah. So we felt we don't understand the reason. There's reasons for moves, but moves just to move someone, we don't understand.
Yeah, exactly. I would love to understand how that works. Because again, all I want is best clinical outcomes for patients. And so, I mean, maybe there is a way that it works and he doesn't know. If that is a program, I would imagine they've got some kind of information on how they follow the patient's progress. And being that he feels that way and it's causing him some more helplessness, I wonder if there's somebody he could talk to about that. Yeah. And, you know, he's feeling it's harassment retaliation. However, if they could explain how that program works, then maybe he won't feel that way.
Yeah. And it seems like it would be, it seems like it would be hard. Remember, one of the basic human rights is the ability to form friendships. And I think
I agree.
It's also disruptive when you are forming friendships, as long as they're not destructive, harmful, but friendships to help support each other, and, you know, can be a trying circumstance that moving someone disrupts those friendships as well. So that's why because we think it is
therapeutic, therapeutic interactions between patients. That, even if it's just two or three patients who bond, it's actually extraordinarily therapeutic, like you said. Even patients in the outpatient departments, I always say, you know, if you guys are healthy for each other and it's just a couple of you to support each other, it can never hurt. It's always good.
We want to have a motion to ask why such frequent moves, you know, interrupting friendships and causing more stress without any apparent reason told to the patient.
Second. This is Kay.
Okay. Okay, Kay, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, so moved. And then how about our other patients?
It looks like we had the one that I have a note on them was from Wednesday the 29th. Mm-hmm. Let's see. And talks about incident report from a therapist after the patient told that patients are filing a lawsuit regarding certain activities going on at the hospital. And the patient said, wants copies of the charted info and incident report. If he gives the ROI, he would like us to take a look at that because he wants to understand why, I guess, being a part of this lawsuit is causing an incident report, which anyway, so if we can get an ROI to take a look at the incident report, you know, I think that it would make that patient feel better. Let's see, the patient's now worried about wanting to move through levels to phase two. Mm-hmm. There's a new med director and he wants to change the patient to a different medication and said that the medication he was taking wasn't for his particular illness, that there was another medication that he deemed more effective. Let me see. And then
I think too, that was clear. We can't you know, we don't have purview over what meds can be given or not. I think the thing that was concerning to the patient is that, you know, an incident was written up because patients were feeling frustration over long, prolonged periods of no way to progress because of COVID and everything else, and ESRB being not functioning and no outings. So they were very frustrated, and they were talking about class action. Since that point, after that, it seemed like even though the patient had, in their own terms, been stable, all of a sudden now they want the patient to go on meds that he has had in the past and has had or doesn't want to go on, and he doesn't understand why he has to go on them if he hasn't been symptomatic. So that's what his claim of retaliation. So if the patient wants us to review it, then the patient has to sign an ROI, and we can. So do people...
And he mentioned he would sign the ROI, but that's entirely up to him. I haven't heard anything further. And of course, you know, as we all know, in a case like this, an incident report would be filed just to keep track of something going on at the hospital of great importance. But I can understand why the patient is concerned, because nobody wants retaliation. But this may not be retaliation, as you said, Lori. We don't know. We're not a part of this. I don't know anything about the patient's background, and I'm not a doctor. So.
Any other notes?
I have one more note from that day, from the same person we talked to earlier in June. And the patient talked about the PSRB.
Sorry.
And different issues. I don't know how we want to put this on public forum. I tell you what, the patient was moved to another unit and has been through some, you know, family loss. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and because there's been issues with PSRB and everything, meeting and all of that, you know, the patient had gone through a lot and still wasn't able to see the family member or go to the funeral. So I'm not sure how you want to word that, Lori, about what he talked about that was going on.
I think the patient wanted some compassion shown for a delicate situation, and it didn't seem like they were being offered any grief counseling or help with some challenging, very challenging times.
Extraordinarily, and especially in this patient's case, I really was glad that he was reaching out just to even to talk and for us to try and do whatever we could. So I feel for him.
Anything else? Okay, we can.
I think that wasn't that everyone?
I think it was.
Yeah, I believe that was everyone. Yep.
Okay, so there's two things. I can go through incident accidents, or we can go through some new legislation. So, what I wanted to say about the incident and accidents again, with you should have gotten the seclusion, and the top perpetrators. So again, on the civil side, there are six top perpetrators of assaults. Two of the patients have seven assaults each, two have five, and two have four. And then everyone else on the campus contribute to the other remaining 28 assaults. But each of them had 7, 7, 5, 5, 4, 4. Additionally, on the seclusions, one patient and restraints, one patient had 36 incidents of restraints. The next one was 17 incidents, 15, 9, and all the other 70 incidents were from the rest of the hospital. So especially this one patient seems like they are getting a lot of restraints and issues. And I think, I don't have the patient number, but I think it's probably for self-harm and danger to self, but I don't know because they don't identify it that way. So if we're going on to some incident and accidents, I'll start with first one was ASH 2022-2403. And in this one, it was patient assault on staff. And in this situation...
Lori, can you say the last four digits one more time? My apologies.
2403.
2403, thank you.
And in this situation, it was an agency worker. And the patient was standing over the worker while the patient was sitting at a monitoring another patient that was on COS, LOS, and they began to stumble. And they asked, "Are you all right?" And then the patient attacked and punched her in the face, in the left eye, breaking her glasses, and they tumbled on the floor, and it was, you know, a mess. So it was hard. The patient was encouraged to seek medical attention, and they contacted their employer, but it did break her glasses, so that was problematic. Let's see. During the same time frame, that was on the 12th. The next one is ASH 2022-2441. And same unit in the day room, a patient got up, walked towards the patient, started punching the patient. When the staff member tried to redirect, they started attacking aggressively the patient who was attempting to put them in a hold, scratching, grabbing, throwing glasses on the floor. The patient called the hotline. And they were provided first aid. They didn't have to go. They reported their injuries. Next one is ASH 2022-2442. And in this one, there was a situation where the patient was making self-harm verbalization, and the staff was attempting to redirect and educating the person about their consequences of their action. And let's see, they didn't comply. They began self-harm. The staff called a code. And when they're trying to protect the person from hurting themselves with their head, they attempted de-escalation, and then they ignored, and they were continuing a lot of self-harm. But they called on the floor. Let me think what happened. Patient was continuing to be agitated. It continued to threaten, so they had to go in mechanical restraints for safety. They were being monitored. They were told to release, but what happened is the patient kind of went on the floor and wouldn't move. So they were trying to get the patient into the new seclusion chairs. Apparently they now have been trained and are using those. But what happened, and the video was recorded, education was provided to the nursing unit in regard to not lifting and carrying a patient from the floor to seclusion, and to utilize NVCI techniques principles as trained. No injury was observed. but they are giving more information. So this one, they didn't use the chair, and another one they did. Sorry about that, if that's confusing. The next one, 2022-2572. This one, the person was doing rounds in the hall, and they heard a staff member shouting, "Someone call a code gray." And when they responded, they found a patient holding a staff member in a headlock and pulled them on the floor. So again, a lot of chaos incurred.
I'm just curious, have we actually plotted, this is Kay, how many violent incidences we have, like versus our staff levels? Like, has anybody looked into that at all?
I don't think so. I think we did get the staffing numbers per shift, but they haven't provided assaults. The thing I can tell you on reading through the civil has a constant, pretty constant. And if you go onto the governor governance board, they'll show you every month. Civil side may have, and don't quote me, they may be 96 incidents, not all violent, but various incidents. The ones we're concerned with are the ones that need medical attention, and some of them have. We could ask to see for those that needed medical attention what was the staffing level at the time.
Just be interesting to see.
Yeah. Well, if you want to motion for that, we could.
Sure, let's put a motion in to see how many, what the staffing level is for every medical incident that has occurred here at ASH.
For what period of time?
Let's go back to the last 6 months.
And just the ones that required medical attention?
Yeah, let's start there and see if there's any correlation.
Medical attention and staffing on the unit. Okay.
Yeah.
Do we have a second?
Aye.
Anyone from staff that's a second? I mean, not staff, sorry. The committee member, sorry.
This is Natalie, and I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so that we will ask about that.
Hi, Lori, this is Kim. What are staff allowed to do when a patient gets violent?
I know they're supposed to initially use redirection and use that, NVCI, de-escalation. If they cannot do that, and they have some history or they know the patient will be violent, then they're going to call a code and try to get a lot of people to help to prevent someone from getting injured or hurt. And like the one, but I think their protocol, we could ask again. I think we've asked why sometimes they call a code and why sometimes they don't. And I think what we were told is that it depends on the judgment of the clinical team that's there and working, the staff, that if they deem that it's not critical, then they may resolve it and redirect. If it gets violent or if they're worried, then they can call a code.
Yeah, I can tell you that the majority of the time in psych, we do everything possible not to have to call a full code. There are certain medications that we can offer the patient and things, and sometimes with some redirection and empathy, depending on what's going on with the patient, we can talk about medications with them, especially before it escalates too high. And oftentimes it doesn't end up becoming a code, because they take the medications, we watch them carefully. I'll typically have a BHT speak with them, let them be heard. But then in other cases, it escalates to a point where danger to others, sometimes patients and staff. So But yes, there's very specific techniques across the board where we start and where it goes to. And I believe that's state mandated stuff across the board.
So back to 2572. So with this person, remember, they tackled the nurse or the staff member. She hit the floor, hit her head, and it was serious enough to where they changed it to a medical alert, and the fire department and was called. They came on scene and they transported the patient to the Valleywise ER. So they were brought back. So they were at Valleywise for about, it looks like, 150 minutes or so. And then here was another one. Let's see. This is 2022-2614. And again, the patient was in the day room unprovoked, started attacking a female staff who was sitting in a day chair. They tried to block the patient from assaulting, but then both of them fell on the floor. When they tried, one of the staff was on the floor, the face down, not moving, eyes closed and not responding. Medical alert called, vital signs checked, not in respiratory distress, but the blood pressure was really high, like 207 over 108. So they were monitoring the blood pressure and they sent that person to Valleywise also. So again, it's tough, and it'll be interesting to see if there's a correlation to these more serious assaults and staffing. You know, we look forward to that, hopefully. But, you know, I empathize with staff if they're working under those conditions. Hopefully they can get it to a better level. Next thing I wanted to go real quickly before we go to new business. So a lot of new bills were passed into law relating mental illness and ASH. I'll give you the bill numbers. You can look at them. SB 1114, primary sponsor was Senator Nancy Bartow, protects confidentiality of individuals receiving court-ordered treatment, modifies application requirements for admissions to court-ordered evaluations. It adds severe mental disorder that significantly impairs judgment, reason, behavior, capacity to recognize reality as a new criteria, outlines circumstances in which courts have concurrent jurisdiction over patients subject to court-ordered treatment. Let's see. Next one was Senate Bill 1210, Senator Bartow, and it was allows the court admitting officer, mental health treatment agency, or evaluation agency to authorize apprehension and transportation of a proposed patient to an evaluation agency by an authorized transporter instead of just the police. It'll allow for the transfer to people with SMI in a more humane, less traumatizing, potentially less expensive manner. Allow law enforcement to focus on their primary job of fighting crime, not transporting individuals with serious mental illness when not necessary. SB 1310, Senator Bartow establishes procedures regarding the commitment, detainment, conditional release, and discharge of a defendant deemed incompetent, non-restorable, and dangerous. Outlines requirements for the treatment of committed defendant. It requires the court to admit non-competent, non-restorables with a dangerous designation into secure residential. Next one is Senate Bill 1392. Senator Bartow removes the red tape when a patient needs a higher level of care at the state hospital. This impacts ASH, allows the medical director of the local mental health treatment agency assigned to supervise and administer a patient's treatment program to file a motion requesting the court to amend the treatment order to place a patient at Arizona State Hospital. It gives the court clear direction and discretion regarding its authority to order a patient into the state hospital. That, I can just tell you from what I know, doesn't mean people go there before having failed other levels of care. And it also doesn't mean that they can order someone in if there's no open beds. But someone that needs that level of care gives it to the courts the ability to do that. Next one is Senate Bill 1444. Primary sponsor was Senator Karen Fan. Prohibits administration and employees of Arizona State Hospital from retaliating against a patient due to family participation in Arizona State Hospital Independent Oversight Committee meetings, requires the ASH superintendent and chief medical officer to attend and participate in the meetings, directs ASH administration to develop and implement an evocative clinical improvement and human resource development plan, modifies the membership and duties of the Joint Legislative Hospital Review Council. So that one impacts ASH. Senate Bill 1651 requires access to annually report information related to individuals living with serious mental illness. In the past, before the dashboard was redone, you could see how many people with serious mental illness went from hospital to jail or jail to street or street. So I think more reportability and accountability to see what's happening to folks. Let's see. I'm trying to think of the other one was it, and I don't have the bill number, but it appoints the chair of the IOC to the governing board as a non-voting member. So we'd be able to speak, ask questions, but just not vote. Now these go into effect, I think, what is it, Larry, September 1st, after the legislative session is closed, but it takes a few months until they go and they're in law.
Yes, I think that sounds right.
So any questions on that? We've had a lot of bills passed this year. Okay, we can be grateful to Senator Bartow and others. Gowan and Fan also took a lot of interest in Arizona State Hospital and people living with serious mental illness. So any new business before we call to the public, since we have like 8 minutes before several of our members have to leave? Any new business that any of our members want to talk about or discuss, or anything I forgot to bring up that you'd like to bring up?
What about COVID status?
COVID status, I did ask, let me see. I did ask about COVID. I said, are visits happening? They said yes. Are outings happening? They said yes. So they said they're still having visits and they're still having outings.
Norovirus status.
Yes.
That's what I was going to ask about.
They have, I think they had a unit. Last time I asked about it, they did have a unit with a norovirus outbreak. I don't know if they've cleared yet, but I know norovirus is active, as is COVID. I don't know the exact numbers on each of them or the exact status at ASH right now. Since we don't have anyone from ASH on, we don't know.
Hi, this is Kay. I've heard that one unit was closed, but that was on the civil side, and I believe that they're opened again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew that they were closed for norovirus and they were clearing. I just don't know if anything's closed again.
I haven't heard of anything.
Okay.
Thanks, Kay.
Yeah, any new business?
No, I don't have anything.
Okay. So if there's no new business, let's call for public comment. And Natalie, do you want a time, since we want to make sure people get time before members have to drop?
Yep, I'll do the time.
Okay. Open to the public for comment, 3 minutes each, please. And let me know if you want your name in the minutes. You can come anonymous. You can mention your name. If you do, make sure you say if you want it in the minutes.
David from Sago.
Do you want your name in the minutes, David?
Sure.
Okay.
Go ahead, David. I'm starting your time.
I have some clothes that I ordered and they were taken from me because they have like small chains on them, and the chains aren't even real metal in the first place, so there's no way to take the chains off without some kind of tool to bend them. And I was just wondering if, like, the chains aren't dangerous, they're no longer than 6 inches long, and we're allowed to have necklaces around our necks that are 20 inches long, and there's no way I can harm anybody with my clothing or anything like that. And I'm allowed to have a belt with metal studs on it, but I can't have clothes with decorative chains on them that are no longer than 6 inches long. There's chains on them that are 3 inches, and no longer, you know, the chains that are no longer than six, or probably not even longer than 5 inches long. And I was just wondering if there's any way that you guys would be able to talk about this.
We can't answer anyone in public comment, but thank you because we heard your comment.
All right.
Okay, anyone else?
This is Clifford Gant from Sago.
What's the name?
Clifford Gant.
Clifford, do you want your name in the minutes?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I had I actually got a response from licensing, the Public Health Licensing Services, for the Bureau of Medical Facilities Licensing on May 27th. I got it like the first or second week of June about an intake or a complaint. It just says, thank you for notifying DHS Bureau of Medical Facilities Licensing of my concern regarding the Arizona State Hospital about the staffing levels. It said that they're going to be assigning a priority level based on the level of risk and health, the safety involved, and they said that they'll investigate, and they're going to send me a letter as soon as they get results. So I'm kind of pushing on this area as far as the staffing levels are concerned, too. I just was kind of impressed that I got a letter back from them. So just let you guys know.
Thank you.
Clifford.
You're welcome.
Anybody else?
Hi, this is Timber Briscoe from Pinion.
Hi, Tim. You want your name in the minutes?
Most definitely.
Okay, go ahead.
You guys were, I missed most of it. I had a visit finally. They were so short that I missed half of it because they didn't have enough staff to give me a visit. And then I asked for security to do the staff instead. And they said that they were so short that they couldn't even do it. Anyways, I heard you guys talking about TC Scabs, Skaggs, and Jeff Brady doing the conversation that was supposed to be recorded with Alice about the retaliation on patients. They are supposed to record that. They have brand new recorders. I have grievances with Jeff and TC that are 6 months old. They just keep extending and extending and extending them. I asked Mr. Bowen when he was here, CEO, how many extensions are you guys allowed? He says, well, as many as it takes. Well, he couldn't give me a number on an answer number. So these guys can just indefinitely keep extending the grievance process until you forget about it, or you just say the hell with it and drop it because no actions are being taken. So this grievance system here is just a dog and pony show. It's a farce, and they just throw it in the trash anyway. They never find in your favor, ever. I've had stuff on videotape. Oh, we can't tell who that is. And you guys even were told that by them. That's so false. I have probably about 5 or 6 videos of me and other people, and they are crystal, crystal clear. So don't let these guys feed you full of BS. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Is there anybody else?
Okay, yes, you have Rodney here from Pinion Unit.
You want your name in the minutes, Rodney?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I just have a few things to say. as far as, the staffing levels have been real short. They've been so short that staff can't even get us outside. I tried to look up federal law and stuff on all this and laws governing this type of institutions, and most of it, and even the citing of Oregon State Hospital, OSH, stated nursing staffing. That's what the law refers to is nursing staffing. Three kinds of nurses, but not tech staff. So there's no real even law regulating that. So they can kind of, it's kind of a, like stuff that falls through the cracks. It's the thin line that they can kind of get away with it. But the problem with that is that it's not quality of care. And this is from, this is something that's listed in 42 Code of Federal Regulations 483.25, and this pertains to specialty hospitals, psych hospitals, that each resident, quality care, each resident must receive and the facility must provide the necessary care and services to attain or maintain the highest practicable physical, mental, and psychosocial well-being in accordance with the comprehensive assessment and plan of care. Now, what I want to say is that's not the highest practicable. They could just pay these people more or something and get people to work for the hospital here. And it's not providing us a psychosocial well-being to keep shuffling, moving patients around just because they're a problem. It's stressful, especially for older, elderly patients that are senior citizens or handicapped patients. And it's highly stressful to have to move all your stuff. And then I have when they moved me, they were doing this to me. It was a secret program, I guess.
That's 3 minutes. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Wow, that was 3 minutes?
It was. So, I'm sorry. I got it on my watch.
My watch doesn't say that was 3 minutes.
Well, you can finish your thought so I can put it in. But
How about a complaint now that I was allowed 3 minutes and I wasn't even given 3 minutes?
Go ahead and finish your thought.
Okay, well, my thought is hard to complete. Anyhow, what I want to say also is I've been trying for months to get my personal belongings that were taken from me when I was moved over to Cottonwood from this unit and then back. And in between the moving, they lost a whole stack of my recovery folders that I'm going to need when I get out of here to continue like reviewing my plans and steps that I took for recovery. I got it from my recovery groups. Anyway, that's all I want to say. And they haven't given that to me. And they're supposed to not deprive me of my personal belongings. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Yeah, I'm Charles Edmark again.
Charles, do you want your name in the minute?
Most certainly.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm with the patients and hospital workers search team for a bilingual Catholic chaplain. We now have an $800 reward for somebody to find one. Chaplain Harris has been very helpful. We hope to have one of his quality. He's helping us already by giving us some documents and books. I have two telephone numbers if any of you would like to get involved. They recently installed a new bishop for Arizona. Hopefully he will approve and facilitate this type of excellent action. My two telephone numbers are 928 area code 351-7679. The other number is 970 area code 305-5055. They're both voicemail. Please leave as long a message as you'd like. I return all the calls. And one other aside, they now have a maximum occupancy sign in the inadequate gym. It says 351
maximum occupancy, but there's no authority. They don't give a fire marshal's name or anything. Everyone have a happy summer. Thank you. Call anytime.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Yes, hi. This is Summer Walter, and I'm okay with my name being in the minutes.
Okay, go ahead, Summer.
A couple things. I am the loved one that filed the most recent complaint about the human rights violation in the restroom for in regards to my brother and his use. I believe it would be worthwhile if the IOC has the capacity to review the security footage, because it is my understanding that the staff that kicked the door, didn't knock on the door, that kicked the door was laughing about it with two other female staff members. So that can really, if that is able to be caught on footage, that would really show that it was intentional. It was intentional to trigger my brother and to make him upset. Same said staff member that kicked the door is a staff member that we've had issues with before and has been very antagonistic towards Darren. Another thing that I can comment on, you know, hearing from the patients there on forensics, is the staffing is on the same on civil, incredibly low, to the point where a female staff member was being beaten so badly by another patient on the unit, and no staff was running to her aid, that several patients, including my brother, are intervening and tearing patients off the female staff to protect the female staff from being, beaten, which is incredibly concerning. So I don't know if that's something that the IOC can look into as well. And that's it. That's all I have to comment on. Thank you.
Thank you, Summer.
Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Timber Briscoe again. One more thing. They've been doing extensive urinary analysis around the whole hospital, I guess. There's been somewhat of a drug problem, they say. When they're giving these UAs, sometimes they're watching, and sometimes it's a female watching the males, which I don't believe is kosher, and I don't think they are allowed to do that by law. I believe it has to be a male watching a male and a female watching a female, because I know a male can't search a female. If you've ever been arrested, you know that. They have to call in a female, and a female can search a man, but I don't think they can watch them go to the bathroom. That's not cool. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, if there's no one else, I think we've almost made our 7 o'clock stop time. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
This is Natalie, and I'll motion.
Okay. All in favor?
Is there a second?
I second.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So adjourned, and IOC committee, we can talk about when we want to do the next visits.
Lori, we didn't actually vote to adjourn. We got the second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so moved. Thank you, everyone. I'll see you at the forensic forum.
Okay, that sounds great. And we're not doing executive session today?
No one called for executive session. Do we have anything?
No.
Okay.
I don't have anything.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
When's the forensic forum?
It is. We're adjourned. The forensic forum is August 5th, 1 to 2.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Everyone. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.